You're listening to Talking Baseball with Ed Randall, presented by MLB.com. He's Ed Randall. He's talking baseball. What more do you need?
Hi, everybody. I'm Ed Randall, Big Ed and Nora's baby boy, and welcome back to Ed Randall's Talking Baseball. He's been called a modern-day Crash Davis, the lead character in Bull Durham, the longtime minor league veteran looking for a shot. That may or may not be a compliment. Our guest played parts of 19 seasons with the Braves, Tigers, Mets, Astros, and Reds organizations, and another in Japan before retiring last season as the all-time minor league leader in home runs with 433. Knowing a little bit about power hitting, the Tigers hired him as the hitting coach for their New York Penn League short season affiliate, the Connecticut Tigers. Stepping into the batter's box, and you might want to play deep, is Mike Hessman. Mike, great to have you on Ed Randall's Talking Baseball. Thanks so much. Before we talk about your career, the 2016 Olympics did not have baseball, but baseball is returning, as you know, in 2020 in Tokyo. You were on the 2008 Olympic team. What do you remember about that?
It'll probably be one of the highlights of my career. Honestly, obviously, getting to the major leagues for a brief time was awesome. But being able to represent our country, go over there and play for the Olympics, and like I said, represent the USA, and being able to bring home a medal was something special. It was something that I'll never forget. You know, I've been watching some of the games here, watched a lot of the golf. You know, I'm a big golf fan, so being able just to see everybody running around, having a good time, sharing their photos, brought back a lot of memories.
Is there one highlight from the Olympics that you recall?
The opening ceremonies was really special for us. Obviously, winning our medal game against Japan to where we earned the bronze was really special. But just being able to see all the athletes hang out in the village, see how everybody goes about their business, and just being a part of the opening ceremonies was really special.
When did you make the difficult decision that last year was it on the field for you?
I've kind of been mulling it over the last couple of years. I knew I was getting close to it. I still felt like I could go out there and help the team and produce. And I always told myself, as long as I felt I could do that, that I was going to play as long as I could. So I think really when it sat in was at spring training last year, you know, not going to big league camp, sitting in a minor league clubhouse, being there with, you know, all these 18, 19-year-old kids, and I'm 37 years old, you know. It's one of those, like, man, what am I doing here, you know. But that was the tough time. Once we got out of spring training, everything kind of fell into place, and I was up with you know, with our team up there in AAA where I've been for so long. So, but I was kind of knew that it was getting to that point, and I had some conversations with the Tigers as well as trying to move into a coaching position when it was all said and done. So everything turned out at the end of the year last year with being able to break the minor league home run record and just how it all kind of unfolded. I knew it was kind of time to start a new chapter.
You think you would have kept playing if you hadn't broken the home run record last year until you did?
Probably not. I don't think so. I never played the game for the records. I honestly didn't know anything about the record until maybe the end of last year. Still didn't know the exact number I needed going into spring training last year. So, you know, I had other players and staff and stuff tell me the numbers. And, you know, like I said, I never paid close attention to that. So, I knew just as far as keeping the body in shape, making sure that I was able to get out there and perform every day, there was just a lot that took part earlier in the day that a lot of people didn't see, just to make sure that I could get out there and perform.
When you were referred to as the modern-day Crash Davis, what's your reaction? Do you like it, dislike it?
You know, honestly, it doesn't really bother me. I never really got it a lot from my peers, from the guys in the clubhouse. More time I hear about it is through the media when they come and ask questions and talk. But, you know, I'm thankful for the opportunity to be able to play for as long as I did. Getting to those records, it's special. You know, I take pride in that, being able to stick around for so long and to be able to put up some numbers throughout the year. So, you know, it doesn't bother me.
You were drafted in the 15th round in 1996 by Atlanta. When you look back now, does that seem like just yesterday, or does it seem like a century ago and it wasn't a different century?
Yeah, it was a long time ago, that's for sure. You know, I still keep in contact with some of those coaches that I had and the staff over there with Atlanta. Just some tremendous people over there that really kind of set the foundation for my career, how to go about the game, how to prepare yourself. So I owe a lot of credit to those guys over there in that organization. But yeah, it's been a while, that's for sure.
But you did get up here and there. You had 223 at-bats in the major leagues over five different seasons, and you hit 14 home runs. Which stand out?
Obviously, my first call-up is extremely, you know, I don't think any player will ever forget that. My first major league hit just happened to be a home run off of Mike Stanton. Those things are going to stay with me for a long time. Being able to be up there with Atlanta when they were making their run at all their division titles and their playoffs and stuff, being able to play with Smoltz and Maddox and Chipper and those type of players there was special. You know, there was a few years there where I didn't get back to the big leagues, and then being able to get back in 10 just from grinding, just keep plugging away, keep finally getting another chance was that was a special call-up as well.
Was there a moment in time where, as the years passed, you said to you may have said to yourself, boy, I don't know if this is going to happen, but I love the game so much, I'm going to continue to play? Or did people in the various organizations with which you played say, Mike, we think the world of you. If there's an opening, we're going to bring you up, but we look at you as they call them, or an organizational player?
They've never really came out and really said that. You know, obviously, you've been in the game long enough, you can kind of see what your role is. You know, you're an organizational guy. You're there in case somebody gets hurt. You know, and then, like I said, you know, had some opportunities to play, which was awesome. Would I have liked to have a little more time, maybe a shot to get, say, 200-300 bats at a consistent rate to see what I could do? Absolutely. But all in all, just still extremely blessed and thankful to be able to, you know, have that opportunity.
And you hadn't been up since 2010, and yet you played through 2015, which is a credit to your ambition.
So I appreciate that. Yeah, like I said, I always loved playing the game, and I knew I could go out there and help teams win some games. So going out there and still producing and helping the team and you know, I've been doing it for so long. That's all I've known. That was my work. That's how I provided for my family. So I was going to try to do it as long as I could.
I did an interview once with a guy, and you may know who he is. Rick Reed was a pitcher for a long time. And in the 90s, he had won something like 90 games, Mike, in the minor leagues. And I asked him, I said, Rick, did you ever think about quitting? And even before I could get the words out, Mike, he said, no, not once, not ever. Were there times through this long process that you ever wanted to quit?
I wouldn't say quit. There's definitely the frustration times. You know, obviously, some players have doubts of if this is the right thing or not, but even when things were going bad, I knew that when I stepped in the batter's box that I had a chance to change the game with one swing. So I always leaned on that and knew that, hey, even if I'm 0 for 20 right now, one swing of the bat
can change everything. Sure.
Yeah, can change everything. So I knew that I could step up there and make a difference in the game. So that's kind of the mentality that I took in day in and day out.
Mike Hessman is with us. He is the all-time minor league leader in home runs with 433, retired after last season with the Toledo Mudhens, Detroit's AAA, and is now working for the Tigers as their hitting coach with the Connecticut Tigers of the short season New York Penn League. And we're happy to have him with us on Ed Randall's Talking Baseball. Your last time up was in the majors was in 2010. You had gone to play in Venezuela, you had gone to play in Mexico, and in 2011, you went to Japan. What were the circumstances for that?
It was one of those situations where I'd always kind of wanted to go over there and try playing over in Japan. You know, obviously, the minor league life here is tough, so if you can have a chance to provide for your family and go over to Japan and get some more consistent playing time over there, and finally, I got that opportunity in the off season, and some things worked out to where we had some interest in a couple teams over there, and I was lucky enough to go over there and play over there for a season.
And what was it like? Beside the fact we hear the ceilings are a little bit lower, and for a guy like you, 6'7", that could be a problem.
I tell you what, those hotel rooms were small, boy.
And those beds are small, aren't they?
Man, yeah. But it was awesome. It was a great time. I wish I would have had, you know, some more consistent bats over there. I spent the year going up and down and then had some elbow injury stuff that forced me to cut the season a little short over there. But a great opportunity, a great chance to go over there and see how they go about their business, how they play the game, how they respect the game. Their work ethic is unbelievable. It's nothing like we've seen over here in the States, man. They work nonstop. Their attention to detail and playing the game the right way. You know, there's more small ball that get guys over, that move runners, but they're extremely fundamentally sound. And like I said, it was a great opportunity to go over there.
But you didn't see a long-term future there.
You know, the way that it turned out over there, it didn't pan out quite how I like to. Would I have played 2, 3, 4 years over there? I would have loved to, but just the way everything worked out, it didn't line up that way.
And now you have this new life as the hitting coach for these young kids, many of whom have just been drafted this past June out of high school and college. My goodness, you have a lot to teach, and perhaps for yourself, a lot to learn.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's definitely been a learning curve for me this year, trying to, you know, obviously when you're a player, you're worried about yourself and one swing. Now I'm all of a sudden worried about 15 swings, you know, so trying to keep these guys dialed in and just making sure they go about their business the right way and hopefully teach them some fundamentals and things. But most importantly, just trying to work with what each player has. You know, every swing's different, every kind of stance and things different. So just trying to work with what these guys have and get them in the best position to have some success.
A few more moments with Mike Hessman, such a credit to the game. Give me some names, Mike. Coaches or managers who you played for through all the years, who influenced you and may be influencing you now as a coach?
Brian Snitker right now, he's the manager with the Braves. He took over once they let, I believe it was Freddie go.
Right.
Snit was my first manager. Unbelievable. I still keep in touch with him to this day. He was awesome. My hitting coach that year was Glenn Hubbard. Just respected the game, went about his business the right way.
He's coaching in Lexington. He's coaching the Lexington Legends.
I knew he was somewhere. I haven't been in touch with him in a while, but he played a big impact in my career. Obviously, here in the Toledo, when I played with Larry Parrish and Leon Durham, Bull Durham, those guys were huge in my career. They stuck by me. They were in my corner. I think, you know, I had a couple rough years. You know, I mean, there was years where I hit under 200, but they believed in me and kept me around for a while. So, tremendous, you know, hats off to them for sticking with me throughout the years. I had a year with the Reds organization with Jim Riggleman, who I believe is the third base coach now with the Reds. Might even be bench coach. I'm not sure where he's at there. I know he's back up in the major leagues with them, but an unbelievable student of the game. He was extremely sharp. I really enjoyed asking him questions and figuring some things out. You know, everybody that we have over here in the Tigers organization has been great so far, you know, being able to ask them questions and learn from them. So definitely in a good spot.
A lot of different influences. You said that you'd love to stay in the game either as a coach or a manager, and here you are. At what point in time, Mike, did you begin to think that you wanted to stay in the game after your playing days had concluded?
I would say probably about 3 or 4 years ago, you know. I knew it was kind of getting towards that time of what's next. You know, I love being out on the field. I love being out there during batting practice, taking ground balls, just the camaraderie with the guys and just trying to help them out, show them the way. So obviously I've been in the game a long time, 19 years. I've learned a lot of stuff through the managers and coaches that I've had in the past. So hopefully I'd just like to, you know, continue on as they did and just share their knowledge and to the younger players coming up now that are starting their careers, and hopefully can get them off in the right direction to have some success and enjoy the game.
And pass it on, like the way Snitker helped you early in your career. Some of these kids are going to get to the major leagues and may credit Mike Hessman for the work that that you did with them as they were beginning their professional careers. Do you miss playing, Mike?
A little bit, not as much as I thought. I think it's more so just giving the body a rest and just knowing that I didn't have to have that grind of mentally trying to get ready every day to play. I still love coming to the field. There's still days that I'm itching to get in there and take some BP. I still put on the spikes every once in a while and go take some ground balls with the guys. So I still have fun. I still like getting out there and running around with them, but I'm enjoying what I'm doing.
Do these kids know who you are? Do they know what you did in your career?
Some do. I don't think a lot of them don't, but I know some do. You know, I don't talk about what I've done in the past.
You're not that kind of guy.
No. So if they do the research, that's fine. If not, you know, it's nothing that I really bring up or talk to them about. If they have questions, I'm happy to talk about it. But for the most part, I just want to go out there and put my time and energy and focus on these kids and try to help them out.
And what advice do you give them?
You got to respect the game. You got to go out there and play hard every day. Hustle, you know. Obviously, I'm trying to teach these guys more so about approach, about the process of being able to get yourself ready to prepare, to be able to take the field every day, to perform. You know, this is a job for these kids now. You know, it's not their summer league travel ball anymore, so they've got to figure out how to prepare themselves and how to make sure that they're ready to go day in and day out. So it's a big change for these guys playing every day. You know, obviously college and the travel ball and high school stuff, they're not playing every day. So this league, it's tough on them. You know, they're starting to figure out that they've got to be prepared to play every day. So just trying to help them develop that kind of routine and that process of making sure that they're ready to play every day.
What do you think sustained you through the years? And what lesson? And what lesson is there from your experience for all of us?
Well, for me personally, just having a strong faith in God, knowing that He had me in a situation in the right place at the right time, had me there for a reason. I knew I was there for a reason. Maybe I sure at times wanted to be in the big leagues, but I knew I was somewhere else, so I went and did my absolute best of where I was at. You know, I never let the all that other stuff kind of come into play. You know, I knew I was there for a reason. I wanted to go out there and make sure I took care of myself and played the game the right way with respect, tried to help my teammates become better players, and I think that's kept me around for a long time.
So you don't feel unfulfilled?
No, not at all.
To your credit. Mike, what a joy to have you on the show. Best of luck in your new career. May it take you far, and thank you so much for your kindness being with me.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So that'll do it for Mike Hessman and myself on MLB.com. If you're on the move, thanks for the ride, and thanks for listening to Ed Randall's Talking Baseball.